Psalm 105. As I share the story about the wilds and how the Lord directed in that way, that story is retold frequently at the wilds. And one of the reasons is to show God's hand in starting that work. Now, of course, there's a lot of things that have been started by great and wonderful people. And after a generation or two or three, it goes by the wayside. Matter of fact, most ministries operate that way. The Wilds is still holding fast after Aaron. Have they been in existence for 50 years yet? Probably, it's close to it. It's close to it. But anyway, it's been around for quite a while. But God's timing, and as far as a need for a building for Grace Baptist Church. Our Sunday school attendance has increased. Our morning services, we see ups and downs, just depends on who's sick and so on. But if we have a Sunday where if everybody were to be here, we couldn't fit in the room. I mean, there's some Sundays where just about every seat is full, and yet I'm thinking, well, you know, there's probably, I can think of at least five or six people who are here as often as they're not, and they happen to not be here that week. And can you imagine? We'd have to be setting up chairs over here. There have been weeks we've had people sitting in the hallway. We need, more space. It isn't just, sharing the building. It's the fact that this room isn't big enough. And so we need more space. One of the things I've been praying for is, I think I shared this, is that the Adventists are sometime this spring going to resume construction on the unfinished part of the building. For those of you who don't know, the other side of the gym is all studs and wire and insulation. It's not finished on the inside. It looks beautiful from the road. And so if they get that finished, the auditorium and so on, I have already put my foot in the door. We'll see it happens. See if it happens. That get that finished, we'd be able to move into the auditorium. The folks in the gym, I don't think would be able to work the auditorium. I think it's too small for them. But it would be great for us. And there's a couple of classrooms in conjunction with that and so on. So it would work very well for us. Restrooms, I mean, they had everything we need, and it would also alleviate noise and traffic problems. So we'd probably get the street side parking lot in conjunction with that. So pray that if we're to rent and we're still going to be here, that would be the arrangement that is made. That would work very, very well for us. Give us more exposure. I'd like to get a big banner, put it on the front side of the building. So just pray for the Lord's leading in that. I'd rather have our own place. But at the same time, the Lord is probably sparing us from trouble that we don't know about. And pray that he would, above all, be glorified in this. When and if we get our own place, I want it to be a trophy of God's grace and goodness, of his timing, that this is what God has done. This is what God did for us. And just like telling the story about how God made provision for the property to purchase the wilds, that we would be able to share what God has done in making provision for a building for Grace Baptist Church. The ministry is his. And so, you remember history. There's lessons to share, blessings to share. And that's what Psalm 105 is all about. It is a review of God's dealing with the nation of Israel. He says in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." Folks, it's time to remember. And I know a lot of folks go, not another history lesson. But we need to remember. We need to remember. If we fail to remember, we will forget where we came from and what our purpose was in the first place. We lose our moorings. And our existence becomes an end in and of itself. And that's not sufficient. That's not sufficient. We are here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And when we fail to glorify God in what we're doing, when we lose our biblical moorings, then it's time to close the door. And we need to make sure that we remember what we came from. And so the history lessons are an important thing. It says in verse 2, "Sing unto him." And how are we going to remember? Well, we can get up here and we can just tell stories. And that's good. That's good. Telling the stories about what God has done, that's good. Sharing testimony and so forth, that's wonderful. That's what we're going to be doing tonight in the evening service. We've talked about making sure that you have your testimony down. your salvation testimony so you can share that with others. And we're going to be having, and I'll take you up on that. We're going to have, four salvation testimonies as part of our evening service tonight. One of them is being sent in and I'm going to read it. So make sure I don't have a copy of that yet. So make sure I've got a copy of that. I'll check email if she needs to send it that way. Yep. We need to, how is that communicated? Well, sometimes we can read a book. Sometimes we can, hear somebody do some speaking. I've shared with a couple of you that the, Studebaker Drivers Club, which is the biggest Studebaker club, is having their international show here in Tacoma, at the end of August. And, my best friend from high school, his dad worked for Raymond Loy Associates and designed Studebakers back in the 50s and 60s. And so they're going to have some lectures on, the design and building of a particular model. And of course he's going to be there because it's his dad they're talking about. And so, it's a reminder of things that were. Well, sharing our stories, is an important thing. Sharing our salvation testimony and so on is an important thing. But how did the church come into existence? How did Grace Baptist come into existence? These are things that we need to remember. We need to talk about, the fact we do this, what, every 4 years or so? Because it's more than just Grace Baptist Church. Grace Baptist Church was started out of a necessity. That, 30, 40 years ago, this valley had several churches that were adhering to the scriptures. They had the glory of God as their primary focus. That they geared their services for the worship of God and not to entertain the crowd. And they got away from that. They've gotten away from that. And so there were 12 people that started Grace Baptist Church. They said, we've got to have a church in this valley like churches used to be. And they got some help from Galilee Baptist Church up in Kent and organized Grace Baptist Church back in 1999. It's been a long time. We've had our ups and downs, but God has sustained Grace Baptist Church. We are a Bible teaching, Bible preaching, and ideally Bible practicing congregation here in the Puyallup Valley. And we need to remember why we came into existence, because if we lose the purpose, then we're going to start doing what caused this church to be started in the first place. So many of you are here because you were part of a church that used to be what this church is like now. And it lost its moorings and it went, you know, drifted off. And you think, where am I going to go? And you ended up meeting in a music room in the back of an Adventist church. We need to remember why we're here. And how do we communicate that? Mentioned sharing testimonies. You can read it. But the psalmist, and this is one of the reasons why we see, this is in a lot of the psalms. He says in verse 2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. The book of Psalms was sung. There was musical accompaniment. And these things were sung. And they were reminders of what God has done, either personally, so many of those things are our personal testimony. And this one here, we have a history of Israel with the good and the bad of what Israel did and the good that God has done. He says in verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. So what God has done, we are to sing of it, we are to speak of it, we are to glory in it, we are to seek God's face, and we are to remember. We are to remember. The good old days were not always good. They were old, but they weren't always good. But very often, we single out the best things. Isn't it great that for the most part we don't harbor a lot of thinking on all the worst things. We remember the good. And as far as the history of the church, as far as the history of God's dealing, we need to remember the great and wonderful things that God has done, because the failings are ours. God is always good. God always does what is right. And when we see the disasters, usually they are of our own making. Sometimes outsiders, but usually they are of our own making. We need to remember. It says in verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and his judgment and the judgments of his mouth. Remember. And so with that as a preface, he launches into it. He starts out by this cause for remembrance. He says in verse 6, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. The judgments, his judgments are in all the earth. All right, you folks, God singled you out. God singled out the nation of Israel. He singled out Abraham, who was a pagan before. We see that several different places in the Old Testament and New. That Abraham almost certainly was a pagan before God called him. And that he passed the, he says, God said of Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God passed that on to Isaac, or Abraham passed that on to Isaac. Isaac passed it on to Jacob. The promise was reiterated to each one of those generations by God himself. And I find it very interesting when Jacob was at Bethel, he's on his way to Laban to escape Esau, and he doesn't have anything with him. He might have a backpack or something if they had such a thing in the day. And he's at Bethel, and he's sleeping on the ground, and he had the vision of the angels and Jacob's ladder and so forth. And when he woke up in the morning, he says, how dreadful is this place? How fearful is it? This is the house of God. And Bethel means house of God. He said, if the Lord will bring me back to this place, I will surely tithe all that I have to the Lord. And it says, and he swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Now, it doesn't mean that he was scared of Isaac. He swore by the God whom Isaac feared. And so it was passed from Abraham to Isaac. It was passed from Isaac to Jacob. And this is the covenant people. And the Lord is the God of Israel. In the Old Testament idea, you had all the surrounding nations worshiping their false gods. And you had Marduk being the chief god of Babylon. You had Chemosh, the god of the Ammonites. You had all these different gods that were worshipped by the surrounding nations. But the Lord is the God of Israel, and that's the standout. The other gods, of course, are the inventions of people, blocks of stone, pieces of wood, but the God of Israel is the God who made all that is. He is the Lord, and his judgments are in all the earth. By the way, his judgments are in all the earth. It's amazing. If you were to look, consider the wisdom of God in this. You look at a map of the world, and knowing a little history of where civilization started and how it spread and everything, if you were to take a piece of information that you wanted to be perpetuated and spread to the ends of the earth, who would you give that piece of information to, and where would you put it to start with? Now, let's go back 4,000 years ago and ask that question. Where would you do that? Well, let's see. Where are the crossroads of the world? People are traveling by caravan, to a lesser extent by ship, but they're traveling mostly by caravan. And I need to find somebody that is and find a place where we are going to establish the truth again, because man had it in the beginning. Man had it with Adam. Man had it with Noah, and it didn't take long for the truth to depart. And so we're going to start over again. I'm going to call Abraham. Abraham lived in a place right near the Kuwaiti-Iraqi border, the head of the Persian Gulf. And so he lived right near there. And God called him and sent him over to what is now Israel. Now, that is, Israel is the crossroads of the world. Israel is where Africa, Asia, and to a lesser extent, Europe meet. It's where all these pieces come together. It's sometimes called the navel of the world. It's the middle of everything. In ancient times, if you were to travel from Africa to anywhere, you went through Israel. Remember, this is ancient Egypt and so on. If you were to travel across the Middle East, you went up and over the Arabian Desert, and you would come down through the land of Israel. You had the great merchants of ancient times were the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians lived in what is now Lebanon, which is immediately to the north of Israel. And they were trading partners, big-time trading partners, because Lebanon went to sea. The Greeks did it for the same reason. You look at any seafaring nation, and the reason they went to sea is because there wasn't anything at home. They lived in a rock. You got the mountains come right down to the ocean, and that's Lebanon. They didn't have any land to grow crops or anything, hardly anything to speak of. And so they brought their food in from Israel. And so you have, again, at the crossroads, when Paul and Silas went on the missionary journey, they sailed out of what is now the Syrian, Lebanese border. And so the crossroads of the world, God established it there in that place to send it to the ends of the earth. He started that out with Israel. He started that out with the gospel, starting in Jerusalem and going to the ends of the earth. He remembered his covenant forever, verse 8, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. All right, going from the generation to the generation to the generation. Now, here's something to note. How long does this covenant that God made with Abraham, how long does that covenant endure? What's it say? Forever. We're not dealing with something that can be broken. We're not dealing with something that is temporary. We're not dealing with something that is a term. It goes up to this point and then stops. God made a covenant. I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. I will make of you a great nation. Through you shall all families of the earth be blessed, and we have the promised land. That's why it's called that. God made a promise to some old guy who came over from Kuwait. One guy. And now we have a message that God gave to this one man, spread to the ends of the earth. The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the foreknowledge of God, to take this one and know that the message would root and spread to the ends of the earth. And it's an eternal message, and all those aspects of the Abrahamic covenant all have eternal results. Because when we have the new heaven and the new earth, there will be an Israel, and there will be the promised land, and it will be occupied by the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right. We're gonna call it quits here. I'm at a stop here. So mark your notes. And we're going to get down to, we're between A and B on Roman numeral 2. All right, so somebody mark that so that when I come in here next week and say, all right, where we were, somebody can tell me. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your wisdom. Father, thank you for bringing it all about so that you have sent the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it all starts, really, 4,000 years ago when you called one man and sent him to a place, and he was faithful in passing that on to his generations, and eventually he gave us the scripture. And Father, thank you for these things. Father, you are a wise God. You are almighty God. And Father, your word will come to pass. It is an eternal truth. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.